Hello, and welcome to More Access to Now. You are here because you're interested in finding out about the power of preferences and getting past the shame of wanting more. It's nice to see all of you live here on the call. I love that live energy, and it's so good to see you all. And hello to the ones who are here on the recording, listening to us later at a future time. Sorry, I got distracted by a technical difficulty here. Alrighty. So I want to invite you to arrive to the call. And if you are a grad of Access to Now, you know how to clear your mental desktop, excuse me, and just arrive clear, energized, grounded, focused. And for people new to that and haven't taken Access to Now, I just want to invite you to take a moment and connect with something for which you are truly grateful for in your life. It could be in your business. It could be in your personal life. Just take a deep breath into your heart space. And just exhale everything that is not needed. And just breathe into that grateful space in your chest. Breathe out everything that is not needed. Good. And just feel yourself settling a little bit more into where you're sitting. There, just supporting your thighs and your bum and your back. More good deep breath. Good. Gently open your eyes if they were closed and just come back to where you're at. Just feeling a little more grounded and clear and ready to take in this information. Today I'm going to be talking about three things: how to recognize shame, how to get past it to stay in the healthy zone, and lastly I'm going to talk about ways to find out about what, and I'm doing air quotes, what more do you want? If you have any questions at any time during my talk, go ahead and hit 1 through 5 on your keypad of your phone, and when I can stop and address your question, I will. And I'm also happy to stay on the line afterwards in case there are any questions I don't get to. All right, so shame is often mixed up with and mixed in with the feelings of guilt. Shame and guilt they're closely related, but it's really important to tease them apart because they are two different things. So guilt is about your behavior, and guilt actually has a value to it. It's that Jiminy Cricket voice that keeps you on the straight and narrow. The healthy part of guilt is letting you know potentially that you've made a mistake or that something needs to get cleaned up in your life. And there's an easy, healthy way to process guilt and to let it go. But that's a whole different talk. So guilt is about recognizing that you need to take responsibility for your actions. And those actions usually fall into the category, like I said, of making mistakes. Maybe you feel like you've hurt someone's feelings. Or you need to take responsibility for stepping up how you show up in the world. So shame is the first cousin to guilt. And shame cuts deeper because it's about our being, not just our actions or what we've done, but who we are. Shame is that feeling that at our very being, we're not okay. And shame has very little value. In fact, it robs us of self-esteem and self-worth. And shame really needs to get healed, and which is a deeper thing than like when I talked about with guilt about processing. Shame really needs to get healed. But today I'm going to focus on shame, and Shame, like all emotions, is on a continuum. So let me explain what I mean by continuum. Shame is actually interchangeable with the word selfish. So shame or selfishness actually has a healthy zone, and that's in the middle there on my continuum slide. More about the healthy zone later. First, what you need to understand is being able to recognize which unhealthy end you're on. And on the left-hand side, that's when shame or selfishness is under-expressed or avoided. And that's usually turned inward towards yourself. And then shame on the other end is selfishness or shame over-expressed. And that's usually focused towards others. So does that make sense on the continuum here? If an emotion is under-expressed, it looks one way. And if an emotion is overexpressed, it looks a different way, but there's a healthy zone in the middle. And today we're going to be talking about the healthy zone of selfishness. So the selfishness on the left side of underexpressed is undeserving. That's really when you underexpress selfishness, you feel undeserving of something. On the other end is entitlement. And so for some of you today, it might be the first time that you're recognizing that you might have some entitlement issues. And just be really gentle with yourself, because entitlement is really a provocative word and gets such a bad rap. And just, you know, let's just normalize it. We all have entitlement issues, and it's usually when we're over-expressing in an unhealthy way selfishness. So on the continuum of selfishness, I'm going to talk about three things: what it sounds like, what it feels like, and what it looks like. So shame is that negative voice in your head, and it sounds different for different people. And it's usually some expression of a self-limiting belief. So if your selfishness is underexpressed and you're in the undeserving category, that's going to sound like, you know, I'm too much. You know, I'm too loud, I'm too emotional, I'm too honest. I can't get anything right, my needs are not important. And at the entitlement end, it sounds like things like, if I don't excel, I'll just end up ordinary, or other people don't deserve the good things they get. That's when you know you're at the other end of the spectrum. So as I've been talking about this, you may be getting clarity about what your negative voice says. And that's good, because awareness is half the journey. Now let's move on to what shame feels like. So the emotions of under-expressed selfishness, those undeserving feelings, and they're usually turned inwards. You feel small, inadequate, ashamed, responsible, needy. That's a really big judgment I hear people talk about when I'm talking about selfishness and shame. And that, that entitled end. The disgust, notice that it's at both ends, but disgust when you're entitled is usually going to be turned towards someone else, that you're disgusted with someone else, that you feel contemptuous towards someone else. So again, I'm going to mute myself here. So when you're recognizing that you're turning entitlement outwards, it's usually because you're having some unresolved selfish issue. So we often feel things in our body before we're conscious of that. So some of the feelings that you could feel in your body on that undeserving end, the bodily sensations that go along with that is feelings in your stomach. You know, I call it that uh-oh feeling. It could be a lump in your throat. On the entitlement end, it's usually feelings of anger, like your head's going to explode or your head's going to pop off. So those are some of the things you can feel in your body around that. So finally, what shame or selfishness looks like in action on the two unhealthy ends. So on that underexpressed end of undeserving, the actions look like putting others first, constantly self-sacrificing, hiding and avoiding, which is procrastination, you know, not receiving and minimizing compliments, that's a really another good indicator that you're feeling undeserving. On the other end for entitled is if you're having actions of grandiosity. You know, like if you're overinflating your accomplishments and you find yourself maybe white lying about what you're getting done in life or in business, that's grandiosity and that's entitlement. Blaming others and judging others is what shame looks like if you find yourself doing that. On the undeserving end, what shame can look like too is this idea of thinking or playing small, or the idea of scarcity. The entitled end could be you being a workaholic. If you're really, really results-driven to prove your self-worth, chances are you're in the entitlement end. Shame in healthy and in both ends is also if you're using any kind of substances to numb the pain, like food or alcohol. So we all have ways to numb the pain, and even that's on a continuum. So wouldn't it be great to use healthy selfishness to heal your shame? So let's talk about the healthy selfishness zone. So the number one block I run into with my clients when we're embracing the idea of healthy selfishness, and maybe you've even felt this as I've been talking, because selfish is a dark and tricky word. And you can see selfish runs across the whole continuum. So the number one block I run into is people don't like to feel selfish because it's a horrible word. It sounds horrible. But what's really, really important is to know there's a super important way to view it as being healthy. So today, how you're going to get past shame is you're going to practice living in the zone of healthy selfishness. So healthy selfishness feels peaceful, grounded, passionate, and curious in a non-judgmental way. You meet life with curiosity and little judgment, and you bring that mindset to your encounters with other people and even with yourself. Healthy selfishness also has an expectation that life's going to go your way. And when you're living in the zone of healthy selfishness, you get really good at living from the question of, what do I want? What do I need? And healthy selfishness sounds like direct communication, asking for what you want. Healthy selfishness looks like owning your own mistakes with no self-judgment, taking responsibility for what you want, staying in consistent forward motion with baby steps. So now, here are three tips that will help you stay in the healthy selfishness zone. And any questions before I move on? Talking about staying in the healthy zone. All right, no questions. Great. So to stay in that zone of healthy selfishness, what you need to do is choose to have a positive mindset of self-love. And something I've noticed when I talk to people about self-love is, besides everyone rolls their eyes because that's so talked about so much, is chunk it down to this idea of self-kindness. So choosing to have the positive mindset of self-kindness. It's how you would speak to a friend. So be kind to yourself when you notice that you're outside the zone. All right, so we have a question here. Carrie. Hi.
As you were describing the two sides of shame, uh-huh. like the entitlement and the undeserving, yeah. I found myself having characteristics of both.
Good point. Of course you can, because our defense mechanisms don't just pick one end of the spectrum. So that's okay. A really good point. Yes, everybody, you're going to find that you probably bounce back and forth. Your default might be more undeserving or entitled, but you're always going to bounce back and forth. Thank you. That's a
okay.
Really good question.
Okay. Are you, is that, okay, so in balancing it, okay, because I was like, oh, I was like, I don't know that I fall on one side.
Yeah, I'm really glad you raised your hand. You don't have to fall on one side. You can bounce around.
Okay.
And the idea is just to recognize, it's like, oh, I'm at one of the unhealthy ends. Here's entitlement. So that's, you're going to bounce back and forth. Like I said, our defense mechanisms don't just pick one end.
Okay, got it.
It's just noticing that you're outside the zone.
Okay.
Thank you. That was great. Right. So staying in the healthy zone is having that mindset of positive mindset of self-kindness. When you recognize that you're outside the zone, so rather than, you know, beating yourself up, it's like, oh, darn it, here I am again in that entitlement zone, it's just be like, you know, what would you say to your friend? Like, no worries. Awareness is half the journey. Let's just reset to the healthy zone. All right, so another way to support staying in the healthy zone is asking yourself, is this thought, is this feeling, is this action in the healthy zone? So you might be one of those people that just likes to ask that question of yourself throughout the day. You know, well, wait, is this thought in the healthy zone? Wait, how I said that to that person, you know, am I in the healthy zone? Does it support the healthy zone? If yes, yay, celebrate it. If no, don't get discouraged. Because like I said, the good news is awareness is half the journey. So if you're noticing you're outside the zone, cool, because awareness is 50% of the solution. And when you catch yourself, it's easier to course correct if you catch yourself early. That's why another reason why awareness is important. So lastly, what other resources within you do you have that will support you staying in the healthy zone? And here's where I want to talk about superpowers. When I work with people one-on-one, we get to identify what your top five superpowers are. And what I mean by that, it's things that you are inherently already really good at that you don't even notice that you do because it's just the air you breathe. And so consider if your superpowers are you have really good judgment, or that you can trust your intuition, or that you know that you already come to life with this curiosity. Those superpowers, just breathe those in and remind yourself, make it conscious that they can help support you staying in the healthy zone. So now, ideally, you're living in the healthy selfishness zone, and that sounds like direct, self-confident communication. It feels peaceful and grounded, and you're not judgmental towards yourself or other people. And you're owning your mistakes, taking responsibility for what you want. So now, how do you know what more do you want in life? Because now if you're living in that zone of healthy selfishness, you know you deserve. And I know that's a provocative thing to say, I deserve more. But in the healthy zone, I mean that in a healthy way. Putting yourself first is healthy selfishness. And from that standpoint, you deserve more. And as I'm saying that, you might notice your internal critic going, ew, that's greedy, I don't deserve more. And if you're a grad of Access to Now, you know, just put that in your container to be reviewed later. If you're not a grad, you just let that go. Let that internal critic go and just reset to the healthy selfish zone where you do deserve more. Okay, I want to give you, let's talk about the steps of how you identify your more. And that's going to be about setting your brain up to tell you how to be courageously quiet, and then how to set yourself up for success for creating this new normal that you deserve more. All right, setting your brain up. How do you do that? Because the idea here is that when you ask yourself, what more do you want? We want to position your brain to answer those questions. What do you want more of? And your brain needs to be in a happy mindset because your happiness is at the root of all of your desires. So that's why happiness is so important. And happy is in the healthy selfishness zone, and we all deserve it. Woohoo! So ask yourself, is it okay if your life gets happier? Right now, most of you might be saying, hell yeah! But look around the edges. Notice any nervousness with the question, is it okay if my life gets happier? And again, Access to Now grads, any nervousness, any self-doubt, you know what to do with it. And everyone else, you just let that self-doubt go and just commit to, yes, I want more. Hell yes, I want more. Okay, so now your brain's happy. Now I want you to position your brain in healthy selfishness to ask this question, what do I want? What do I need? And that's called internal locus of control. Positioning your brain to be healthy selfishness is about what you want, what do you need, not anyone else's expectation of you, just you. If you knew you could get what you want and nobody was going to have anything bad to say about it or judge you or leave you or try to take it away from you or make you share it. So, for instance, something really common in my practice about how people hold themselves back from wanting to make more money is because they know that their family is going to expect to be taken care of, or the family is going to want their money. So that's a whole different ball of wax to deal with. But for right now, I want you to get really clear about what do you want, what do you need, even if it's money. Just notice if something negative comes up around it, jot it down, and that could be something that we work on in the future. Okay, so now your brain is happy. Your brain is positioned. What do you want? What do you need? So your big, beautiful brain's all fired up to be happy and self-focused. Now you're ready to get courageously quiet and listen to your brain for the answers to the questions. What do you want more of? Be ready to hear things, again, on the continuum. Everything from little interests to big desires to big dreams to life's purpose. There's no right or wrong. All right, let's try it. All right, so you may have printed out your notes for today, and you can jot down answers that come up. If not, just notice what your brain tells you. Okay, so take a deep breath. Ask yourself, what do I really want? Just jot down the first thing that comes to mind. Now ask yourself, what do I really, really want? Notice the first thing that pops into your mind. Could be two or three things, could be one thing, no right or wrong. If you're noticing any distractions in your container, now ask your big, beautiful brain, what do I really, really, really want? Notice what your brain's telling you. Down. Distractions in the container. Last question. What do I really, 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 really want? I'd love to hear some shares, or if you have any questions based on that exercise. If you don't have any answers for all four lines, you know, no worries, no problem. Just keep up with this exercise. Get courageously quiet. Position your brain to be happy. And what do I want? What do I need? And just journal, asking yourself those four questions. And what you're going to be doing is setting up your brain that it's okay to give you the answer. So asking yourself these questions over and over is a great way to tell your brain it's okay to really, really want something. Because that question, these questions, really support creating that new normal of healthy selfishness. All right. I'm going to find out from Carrie here. Carrie. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. What did you notice about asking yourself, what do you really, really want?
That it got a little deeper every time, and that it started out with something work-related.
Mm.
But then, like, it got deeper.
Good. Any surprises for you, or it was things that you already knew?
It just got clearer. And I know, like, whenever anybody asks me what I want, the first place I go is my work.
Gotcha. Nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
All right, so this new normal, I really want you guys to set yourself up for success. So here's some other ways to support you creating that new normal. Is this idea of easy, sweet baby steps. So much of the world and the entrepreneurial world is go big or go home, or dream big, 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 fast, 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 more, more, more. And what really supports creating a new habit are easy, sweet baby steps. And that goes along with the idea of being kind to yourself, right? So when you're doing something new, the most powerful way to succeed is to chunk it down into easy, sweet baby steps. Calendaring it is a great way, because our brain is already trained that things on the calendar are important. So calendar this exercise. If it's something that you, like what Carrie was saying, getting clarity on what she wants more of, maybe you just want to calendar it once a week to do that exercise for 5 or 10 minutes and just stay in that forward momentum, that forward momentum of getting clarity on what more you want. Outside of accountability really helps keep you in action, because when you're reporting back to someone, it keeps that commitment to healthy selfishness top of mind. Connecting and sharing challenges and celebrations with other humans is really powerful. And celebrate your successful baby steps at the end of the day, no matter how small. The power of preferences, to know you prefer something, is normalizing. To know that it's just a preference, it's healthy selfishness. This allows you to see the choices you have in life, to make that happen. The power of preferences also helps you to not lose your power when life is challenging. And now you also know the difference between demanding, which is entitlement, or feeling undeserving. I need to take care of everyone else first. All right, so I hope you found some gold nuggets today that are going to help you stay in effortless momentum around creating this new normal of healthy selfishness, and the idea that it's okay to want more and to look for it. What more do you want? There are so many benefits for you when you put you first in life. Not only do you get what you want, but you get to create that spaciousness inside yourself to create your more and to receive it. Powerful stuff. So commit to staying in the zone, asking yourself, what do I want? What do I need? Don't forget about your superpowers. And today I've referenced my Access to Now grads, and for those of you who are interested in finding out more about how to use Access to Now to supercharge your results, my next Access to Now is starting February 29th, and you can always email me at sherry@effortlessmomentum.com to find out more. All right. Thank you for joining me today, and I'm going to see you guys next month, hopefully, when I'm going to be talking about the foundations for effortless momentum and how easy it is to create those in what you need. And if there's any questions, go ahead and raise your hand and stay on the line, and I'm happy to address them. Next month, it's a really exciting topic. I have so much fun talking about the foundations for creating effortless momentum, because when I talk about that, you guys get to find out where, because there are so many building blocks to effortless momentum, that I can guarantee you that you guys have a good amount of them already, and it's super easy to enhance the ones that need improving. Yay! So that'll be next month's talk, and I'll be sending out an email about that. So again, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate everyone who's here and listening to the recording. So I'm going to unmute everyone. Goodbye.
I finished my welcome
okay.
to my...
Thank you. You're
thank
welcome.
You. Thanks,
you're welcome.
Sherry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.